Maria and I marked another wedding anniversary this past week, and as a special treat to celebrate the occasion, we had a rare night out, and we opted to go to a restaurant, one of those buffet kind of restaurants, where you can have all you can eat. And I think there are significant advantages to having an all-you-can-eat kind of menu. You don't need to scroll through the list of presumably delightful things wondering, what is that? You have a broad selection of things to choose from, and you can have a bit of everything. There is no waiting for the chef to get your meal ready. It's usually there for you on the buffet. But I think the best thing about the all-you-can-eat menu is that you can eat until you're full. You can have as much as you like, and you only stop when you've had enough. And it's surprising the number of times that the Bible portrays eating. It's surprising the number of times and the circumstances in which the Bible portrays having a meal and eating all that you would like. I think about the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were placed in this garden, and God commanded them or told them, you can eat from any tree in the garden. Every tree in the garden, with the exception of one. Think about the manna in the wilderness when God's people are brought out of Egypt and they could collect the manna that God provided as much as they needed. Think about the wedding banquet of the Lamb in Revelation 19 at the marriage feast of Christ and his bride. There is something about having your fill, something about having plenty to eat, sharing a meal together, that communicates goodness, that communicates contentment, and that all is well. Feeling pleasantly full after a good feed is one of the enjoyable things of life. But I want to ask you this morning, how full is your soul? How satisfied is your spiritual appetite? Where do you turn to for nourishment when you're feeling empty? Throughout Matthew's gospel, we've seen Jesus do many wonderful miracles. And here we see in chapter 14 a different kind of miracle. It's the first of two feeding miracles. And I think the search for contentment, the search for satisfaction and goodness is a search that every one of us is aware of. Here we want to see where we get it from. Here this morning we want to see where we get fed. So that's our theme this morning, where to get fed. And our headings are firstly a desolate place, secondly a great task, and then thirdly abundant provision. So firstly then a desolate place. Now Matthew introduces this miracle, this narrative here of the feeding with some words about John the Baptist. Reports have reached King Herod, Herod the Tetrarch, about Jesus and his power. And Herod presumes that this is John the Baptist, raised from the dead. And of course, John's ministry with his death comes to an end. He was faithful in his ministry to the end. It went to the very top of the highest levels of the society, even at the cost of his own life. But now it's become the catalyst for Jesus being on the move again. Luke tells us in his gospel that Jesus withdraws to Bethsaida. Bethsaida is outside Herod's jurisdiction, so it's likely that Jesus here is trying to avoid getting any more of Herod's attention. The only detail that Matthew gives us, though, here is that Jesus comes to a desolate place. The word desolate, it's the same word for desert. It's the same word for wilderness. But this place that Jesus has come to is not a desolate place in terms of a desert. It's not sandy and it's not barren. Verse 19 tells us that there's grass there. It's ice. It's desolate in terms of being isolated. It's desolate in terms of being empty. That is, it's out of town. It's away from the shops. It's away from houses. It's away from pantries. If you could imagine dropping everything here this morning and going on a hike out over the hills here and going past Brooklyn, going past Karori, and spending the entire day out there, you'll find out very quickly there's not much out there. And when you get to the end of the day, you'll be wondering, well, what do we do now? And this is what's happened here in this place. Your options are very limited in a desolate place. But it's the ideal place for a feeding miracle. And I want to put it to you that our world is like a desolate place. Except it doesn't look very desolate. It actually looks like it's quite full of wonderful things. It looks like that it's full of enjoyable things. It looks like it's full of things that can give us great experiences. But I want to put it to you, our world is a desolate place in terms of its ability to satisfy our souls. Think about how advanced modern society is. We've never had greater access, greater civic freedom. We've never had greater access to education. We've never had greater access to emergency services, medical treatments. We've never had a greater ability to travel extensively. We've never had such a variety of foods that we can enjoy. We've never had more technology and devices to use that are supposed to make our lives better. We've never had better houses, never had better cars, better roads. We've never had greater affluence, greater comforts. And yet our world and our society seems more disillusioned than ever. And there's not even a world war going on. Suicide in this country is a national tragedy. Addictions are rampant. Substances, gambling, pornography. Mental health services struggle to cope with demand. There's worry, there is fear, there is anxiety, there's disillusionment. I think it says something about our world, and it says something about our materialistic culture that there is still a constant craving for satisfaction. There is still an endless pursuit for more, an endless pursuit for better, despite the fact that we have so much. Why is that? Because our world is a desolate place that cannot satisfy the soul. Do you know those times when The world just seems unsatisfying. Do you feel that keenly, that desolation? A sense of emptiness. Or do you hold out for something that's going to change it? That one thing, if I just had it. My hopes, my dreams would be satisfied. I want you to notice here. Jesus comes to this desolate place. The crowds follow him. He has compassion on them and he heals their sick as he has been doing. And yet there was something else they needed at the end of the day. We need to find satisfaction in a desolate place. And that is no easy thing. And it's no small task. In fact, secondly, it's quite a great task. Two factors here mark the greatness of this task. Firstly, just the enormity of the scale. Matthew tells us in verse 21, there was about 5,000 men besides women and children. If, as it seems likely, that whole families came and followed Jesus at this point, there's possibly more than 10,000 people there. 12, 15,000. That's a rugby crowd. Preparing a meal for such a horde of people is a huge operation. If you've ever been to family camp where there's only 200 plus people there. And if you've ever been working in the kitchen at family camp and preparing food for 200 people, it's major work. But here there are thousands of souls that need satisfying. But the greatness of this task is not just the scale, but it's how Jesus deals with it. The disciples come to him and they want Jesus to send the crowd away. But Jesus tells them in verse 16, "You give them something to eat." I remember many years ago going into a retail store where they had, you know, funny, humorous signs on the wall, like memes today. And this particular sign that I remember well says, "The impossible I can do at once, but miracles take a little longer." And I don't think those people were boasting in their supernatural ability, but more reflecting on the unrealistic expectations of their customers. And I imagine the disciples here are responding in the same way. They'd be dumbfounded. "We've got 5 loaves of bread. We've got 2 fish here. What are we supposed to do?" Do you ever get overwhelmed like that? What am I supposed to do? Do you ever hear the commands of Scripture? The command to follow Jesus where he says, "Take up a cross and follow me," and just get overwhelmed by that? Do you ever feel spiritually flat because this task is just too great? Do you ever think about the command that Jesus gave to his disciples at the end of Matthew to go and make disciples of all nations and wonder, how do I do that? This world's so big. Do you ever wonder about sin? I think I strive against sin, but it just seems like it's got a stranglehold. Do you ever sense your inability to satisfy your own soul? much less serve God and serve the people around us and proclaim the gospel in our community, love one another and build up the church and fulfill our calling. I think we'd all love to be great at what we do. We'd all love to be great at being a Christian. And I think sometimes we think we need to be great in ourselves to do that. And I think sometimes we even demand and perhaps even expect greatness of others to be satisfied. Something like what the Corinthian congregation was doing. Jesus is not giving this great task to the disciples because of their outstanding ability. In a desolate world, the disciples have a key role to play. It's an incredible role. They are vessels for carrying and conveying what is needed to satisfy hungry souls. And the ability to do that is completely outside their control. There's nothing special about these disciples. And there doesn't need to be. Jesus chose them. Jesus taught them. Jesus discipled them. Jesus prepared them and gave them this great task. And his instructions here of what he calls them to do reveals their inability to do it so that their self-trust would be removed. But also to demonstrate the great abundance, thirdly, that Jesus gives. We're not told how Jesus specifically did this miracle. Were these never-ending loaves? Did he take five loaves and turn them into 50 loaves? Was it one loaf that he just keep breaking bread off? It doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus kept the food coming. He gave to his disciples, and his disciples gave to the people. And all ate, and all were satisfied. Now, it's possible there's some significance here in the number of baskets left over. There were 12, just as there were 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles calling out a new people. It's hard to be certain about the symbolism of numbers, but what is clear is that when people come to Jesus, what he has and what he gives satisfies hungry souls. And there is more than enough to go around. John 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. God is so committed to filling us, to filling his people, to satisfying them, that he sent his own son to empty himself, to surrender himself to a cross for sin. And it's sin that is the very thing that creates in us this hole that requires filling. And it's the very thing that renders the world incapable of filling it. Our spiritual vitality is sapped by our own sinfulness, but also by living in a fallen world. We're subject to that every day. And our souls are in daily need of replenishing. If you experiencing an ongoing sense of emptiness, an ongoing sense of dissatisfaction, it's possibly a sign that the food you're devouring isn't satisfying. When you sense there's something missing in your life. And I think we all go through that at some stage, to some degree. When we're craving satisfaction, but it seems elusive. When we're running on empty. When we know just how desolate the world can be. When we're overwhelmed by demands, the demands of life, even the demands of the calling to be a follower of Jesus. When we're unsure of our meaning, when we're unsure of our purpose and our direction. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 16. They don't need to go away. You don't need to go and find it somewhere else. You won't find it somewhere else. You don't need to go and search for it in substances. You don't need to search for it in fulfilling sexual desires. You don't need to go and search for it in appearance or in your career or in your reputation, in your own achievements. You don't need to go and search for it in any earthly or temporary thing. Those things can be good servants, but they are terrible masters and they will enslave you and heap up the burden. You don't need to go away from Jesus. Because only He has the ability to fill and satisfy souls. And friends, the greatest need that we have is to be restored to the living God. To have our sin, to have our guilt removed through the living bread of Jesus. Come to Him with your need. Come to Him when you are dissatisfied. Come to Him in repentance, in faith, knowing that His grace is sufficient and there's more than enough of Him to go round. It's not clear if the crowd knew where this bread was coming from, but the disciples knew. And the disciples will be tasked with distributing this living bread. In a desolate world, there is abundant grace in Jesus to fill and satisfy hungry souls. And once hungry souls are now tasked to feed other hungry souls. It's Martin Luther, I think it was, who said that we are beggars simply telling other beggars where to get bread. And so here in Matthew 14, we're shown where to get fed. Here we are shown where we can eat and be satisfied with the living bread for His glory. Amen.